Let's stand up and start reading from, I know in your text, in the bulletin it said 23 through 33, that's actually, or 28 through 33, that's not Angela's fault. I told her to put that, and then through the week I was like, nah, I need to add a few verses. So that's what we're doing here. So here we go, Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time together. We pray a blessing on this moment. Lord, we pray that you open our hearts and minds to your Spirit. May your Spirit speak to us and transform us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Fred Craddock tells a story when he was coming back from a trip. He was waiting in the terminal for his plane to arrive, and he began visiting with a couple. Now, this couple was on a return trip as well, and they were coming from Hawaii. As he was visiting with the couple, the man fell over. The man just fell over in the terminal. Immediately, paramedics rushed to help him. Craddock says they were there 2 minutes after he fell, but there was nothing they could do. The man passed away. When he fell down, he had broke his glasses. And Craddock was with the wife, kind of comforting her and talking to her. And part of the conversation went like this. She kept telling him, "I didn't bring another pair of glasses." He had another pair. He put them out and told me, "Remember to take another pair of glasses." And I forgot. I left those glasses. That's the only pair of glasses he had. "Now, what are we going to do?" And she talked about those glasses while her husband laid there dead. She was in shock. And in the words of Craddock, shock is a providential way of protecting us from death until we're able to make sense of this nonsensical thing. Craddock would go on to say, I don't mean disturbing in the sense of sudden shock. I mean disturbing in the sense of the profundity of its importance. I think all of us have experienced these moments in life, a moment when, in the blink of an eye, everything changes. What we understood, we no longer understand. How it was is no longer how it is. There's nothing easy about these kind of moments in life, these sudden, nonsensical moments. These experiences, like the one in the story, are not moments we wish on anybody. We don't. We don't wish this on anybody, because these kind of moments mean change. They mean struggle. They mean pain. And I think the biggest thing that happens to us in this moment is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the what's next. Or just fear in general. It's a scary moment for us. And as we've been looking at and talking about, and as we read in our scripture, following Jesus is a harrowing experience for all of us. Whether we know it or not, Jesus' call to follow me is not some trite rhetorical question. This is a call from Jesus that, as we have read, supersedes all other calls, all other questions. There is no other call after this one, and there is no other life but the life found in the one that called us to follow me. Everything in the blink of an eye changes. Bonhoeffer, in his call to discipleship, talks about the implications of Jesus' call on our life by saying this: "It, the call of Jesus, is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering that everyone has to experience is the call which summons us away from our attachments to the world. It is the death of the old self in the encounter with Jesus. There is, in Bonhoeffer's words, a death that takes place in the life of the one who says yes to Jesus, in the life of the disciple. A death, as he says, to the old self, which means the disciple experiences one of these disorienting kind of moments, one of these nonsensical moments when you're called to die to that to which everything you once knew is now different. Everything the old world, the old self has told us is important about identity and desire dies at the call of Jesus. We have moved into new life, is what is said. And whether you begin following Jesus yesterday or you've been doing it for 40 years, this process of disorientation and reorientation is going to be and still is a struggle for all of us. We have to try to figure out what does it look like every day to die to ourselves. Every day we are learning just a little bit more that following Jesus is not for the weary or the faint of heart. It's not a popular and cool thing, we begin to find out. I cannot help but think about the words of Jesus when he came onto the scene of history in the Gospel of Mark, in the very first chapter. When Jesus shows up on the scene, and this is what he says. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying what? The time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe in the good news. And it's that word, repent, right there. You see it? It's that word repent that gets me every time I read this in Mark. There is in this word a turning away from and a turning toward the kingdom of God. Repent of all that you knew and turn toward this new kingdom, because why? It's coming near. And Jesus is almost saying it's coming so near that we're going to head in a new direction. And Mark prefaces it with that very first part. Now, after John was arrested, you know, that, you remember John, right? But John is still considered part of the old. After John was arrested, that's disorienting enough. But now Jesus says, no, turn from all of that and repent and follow me. Our text for today is a well-known text. Most of us in here may know it from the Gospel of Matthew. The disciples have just earlier witnessed Jesus feeding a multitude of people. You know, it's what Jesus does. This time he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and makes it into a plentiful bounty for all to eat. And when the cleaning was done and all of the food was in the baskets, we notice that Jesus sends the disciples in a boat ahead of him. Now, another little side note to this is when the disciples are in a boat, something's going to happen. It's just when the disciples get in a boat, guys, that's just like the radar should pop up. Something's about to happen. Normally, it ain't great for the disciples, and they got to learn something. But when it's a boat, and it's the disciples, it's something. Partly because the whole idea of the sea, the whole idea of the water, first century mindset was highly spiritual, robust spirituality, right? And the sea, well, it was still scary. You didn't know what was underneath there. You know, my family likes to go to the beach, but they like to go to the beach where you can see your feet. Why? Because you want to know what's underneath there, right? And so there was something underneath there. So they're on the sea, so something always seems to happen. There's an unknownness there, and so we see that. They go out there, and then all of a sudden, what begins to happen? The waves start beating them down, and the wind starts beating them down. And in this moment when they're on the sea, chaos and struggle begins to happen. And in the moment of chaos and struggle, something else happens. Jesus shows up. Fascinating thing about this story is Jesus shows up in the middle of the chaos. And in the early morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. He was, you know, he's just doing Jesus things now. I can't tell you I understand either, Jesus walking on water. You who have pools may have tried it. Normally doesn't work. But this is what's going on. In the middle of all of this, all the things going on, the chaos of the wind, Jesus shows up walking on the water. And the disciples can only imagine what in verse 26. I mean, if someone's walking on the water, which is not normal, the only thing you're thinking of is what? It's a ghost. And that's what they say. It's a ghost. This, like, in the middle of the chaos, that's all that show up. Hey, anytime chaos happens, it's generally something crazy also that happens. So it has to be a ghost. And just in case you, I, or the disciples did not believe this figure in the storm was Jesus, we have in the next verse Peter doing what Peter does, basically calling out. When he says, take heart, Peter says, okay, prove it. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter says, prove it. Prove that it's you. And by the way, it's probably what you and I would have done. You know, prove that you. I can't imagine that Peter actually believed what the next words would be. I can imagine that when Peter was like, prove it, that Jesus would be like, it's me, you know what I'm, something like that, right? Just, you know, give him a quiz, I don't know, to prove it's him. But no, what does Jesus do? Prove it, Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, then you come. Like, notice what goes on here. Like, out of Jesus' mouth is, the very next words are, come. And now Peter has a decision. You ever heard the phrase, your mouth is writing checks your body can't cash? Well, this is that moment for Peter. This is it. Jesus says, come, and the Bible's great with imagination. Like, can you imagine? He hears come, and all the other disciples who didn't say anything, first off, like, thank goodness. And then secondly, all the eyes of the disciples are just staring at Peter. Like, let's see this big guy. You know, let's see what you're up for. Will Peter be willing, even for a moment, to get out of the boat, to get out of what was still the safety of the boat and move towards Jesus on the chaos of the water? Is he willing to trust Jesus enough to follow Jesus anywhere? And first I have to believe, and this is pure conjecture, that Peter is stunned by Jesus' no hesitation response. Not, hey, Peter, if you want to, you know, come on. No. It's no hesitation. Come. Secondly, I have to think that Peter is trying to figure out a way out of it. I think Peter has to be thinking about those three other guys, be able to say, yeah, but first, Jesus, you know, show me something else, and then I'll get on it. You know, come closer to the boat, reach out your hand, and I'll grab it, and then we'll walk on water. But all Peter can do is trust that Jesus is there, and that Jesus really means, do not be afraid, for it is I. That is what Peter, at least for the moment, does when he gets out of the boat. He trusts that it's Jesus there, and that Jesus, following Jesus, means do not be afraid. He trusts and walks toward Jesus, but let's be honest, like any human instinct, fear creeps in when he actually realizes what's happening. And don't tell me that you wouldn't have either. The moment you notice you're walking on water, you would have been like, that's a thing. You would have. The water wasn't calming down. This isn't that moment, right? This isn't that moment in Matthew when the water's bashing around and Jesus says, peace be still, and everything gets quiet. Nothing's getting quiet. Peter's still walking and the winds are not calming down. It tells us that in verse 30. But he noticed the winds. He noticed what was going on. And this is the moment for Peter and for the other disciples as they watch. And remember, there were the other guys just watching all this happening. And Peter gets caught up not in Jesus, but in the chaos of what's going on around him. The chaos will overtake him because it always does it not? It feels like it can engulf us, or at least that's what we're always told, that the chaos will always win. All Peter can do in this moment is cry out to Jesus. All he has is Jesus in the midst of the storm. And I want you to hear that again. All he has is Jesus in the midst of the storm. When we die to ourselves and it gets rocky and it gets chaotic, all we have in the midst of the chaos is Jesus, because it's the one who calls us into this new disorientation, that is the one who reorients us and doesn't go anywhere. Jesus is in the storm. Discipleship, following Jesus, is understanding the storms will come, and Jesus calls us into the storms. And it's not easy, and it's not fun. It's easier just to stay in the boat and watch. It's easier to be the other 11 guys and be like, well, Peter, you said it, you go. I mean, they all could have just held hands and did it all themselves. But no, it could have been easier just to stay in the boat. It's simpler just to wait. Lord, we will wait until the storm is done, until life gets easier, and then we'll come to you. But that's not the calling of the disciple. The call is to follow and to come to Jesus. Follow in any weather. Follow in all circumstances. Discipleship is about not about staying in the boat because you are safe. Discipleship is about living in the risk of life. Discipleship is coming to Jesus throughout all of life and the chaos of it all and trusting that the chaos will not win. Following Jesus, discipleship does not mean that the chaos will not come. It does not mean that life is easier, and all of us can attest to those unexpected moments of pain and hurt and suffering. Those moments that cause us to question everything, where it'd be easier to run back inside or just to give up, to just give in. Following Jesus will mean trust that through it all, through the minute that Jesus says, follow me and come, that Jesus stands with you in the storm. Discipleship is believing and trusting that you are not alone through this time. The powers and principalities want you to think that it is best for you to give up. And maybe they even tell you, rely on us. We'll help you out. You know, give them your allegiance. We hear it every day through our various modes of communication. Trust in us. We'll take care of you. However, when the chaos of life happens, it is not the powers that pull us out. In fact, they have a way of sinking us in deeper. Not the principalities that pull us out. They tend to flee from the difficulties. We see them for who they are and what they are in those moments. Yet there is Jesus in the middle of the mess. We might have doubted in the moment. And like Peter, we found ourselves sinking because it was hard. We might have even have played it safe, only to find ourselves in the middle of it anyway, because that's just usually how it happens. But there is Jesus still reaching his hand to rescue us from the deep. Discipleship is knowing that you are never alone when you follow Jesus. Even in your hesitancy, when personal and hesitancy in this word doubt that we read means personal confusion or uncertainty that prevents action or commitment. We get that. Something that prevents us from actually doing it. We get that. But it didn't stop Jesus from, it could have been Jesus was like, well, good luck, Peter. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. I hope you can get this figured out. Hey, guys, look at this fool. Jesus could have done that. But instead, what does Jesus do? He just puts his hand in the water and grabs Jesus and grabs Peter and pulls him up. The end of the story reminds us of this. The end of the story reminds us of all the other stories. The Matthew 8 story when he calmed the sea. And you remember when he calms the sea? Jesus calms the sea and the disciples are like, who is this guy? Right? They don't say, he's like, who is this guy who can command the winds and the seas? A few chapters later, the disciples don't ask, who is this guy? But in verse 33, they do what? Truly you are the Son of God. In the chaotic moments of life, when you follow Jesus and you begin to die to yourself and things happen, and Jesus is still there in the midst of it, didn't bail on you, but stayed with you, then we say, truly you are the Son of God. So I was reminded of, and you'll get a kick out of this, of some Dylan lyrics this week. Because in case you didn't know, it was the 50th anniversary of his album, Blood on the Tracks. Great album if you want to read it. But this is what he says in his song, Shelter of the Storm, Shelter in the Storm. Now there's a wall between us. Something there has been lost. I took too much for granted. I got my signals crossed. Just to think that it all began on an uneventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Every time I read the lyrics of Shelter from a Storm, I think of Jesus in the midst of all the craziness and chaos. There she is. It says, come on in. I'll give you shelter from the storm. When we follow Jesus, when we die to ourselves, this is what we're reminded of. that Jesus says it. When the chaos comes, because it's going to come, because you got to die to yourself, I'll still be your shelter in the storm. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3 says this, and we'll close with this. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass, get this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall what? Not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And when Jesus calls us to come, this is what he says. It's not that life won't be hard, because dying to yourself always is. But I'm going to make sure the waters don't overwhelm you, and I'm going to make sure the flames don't burn you. I will be your shelter in the storm. If you have any needs today, come now as we stand, as we sing.